Morning, everybody. How y'all doing out there? Woo! God's in the house this morning. That's good. All right. Well, glad to have you all here this morning. We're going to start something new today. Brand new series today. So there you go. That's how new it is. Just give us a second here as we get configured, and there you go. All right.
All right. So yeah, this series is called Surviving the Seasons. Surviving the Seasons. We can all relate to the challenges and blessings of the seasons, right? We live in Pennsylvania, right, where you pretty much have all, you could have all four seasons in one day. You ever experienced that? Not really sure what to wear, and everybody says just dress in layers, right? Layers. So if you're watching live stream from another part of the country or the world, welcome. We're glad you're here. Your environmental experiences are probably going to be a little bit different than ours are. But we'll get into that a little bit more as we go along here. So in the series, we're going to parallel the seasons, the literal environmental seasons, with the seasons of our lives, the changes that happen, the growth, and the times that just are different in our lives, the downtimes, the uptimes. So we're going to talk about, over the next several weeks, we're not really sure how long this is going to go. We're going to see what God's going to do. But we are going to hit the four seasons. Today we're just doing kind of an introduction. But weathering the winters, which is, you know, working through the darkness and the cold, and then what to do in the winter to keep your spirits up, right? And then sowing the springs, which sowing, planting, recognizing that that's a new time, a fresh time, what to do in those times, surviving the summers, enjoying the warmth, but also making sure we pull the weeds out of our lives, right? And then appreciating the autumns, which is the harvest time, the autumn, the cool of the autumn. And each season, if you're, anybody a farmer here? Dad, I know you're a farmer. You're a farmer, yep, Paul. Yep, Pastor Rick. Now that he took up farming, retired pastor, took up farming. You've always been a farmer. You've always done farming. Yeah. So each season carries with it necessary steps in order to achieve the greatest value and excellence in the next season. There are things we have to do now to prepare for the next season. So Cliff and I, you know, we're halfway through our 40s right now, and we've experienced a lot in life, but we have not experienced everything. But we've been through many cycles of seasons together. I was 7 and he was 10 when we met. And, you know, we as kids, we grew up in the church here.
That was like 4 years ago.
Yeah, it feels like it, right? I'm hoping that we'll experience many, many more decades of seasons together. How many of you have lived more than one decade? Anybody like 12-year-old here? You know, okay, all right. Connor's like, yeah, me, I got that. I just surpassed.
I see Dale raising his hand back there.
Yeah. All right, so if you've lived more than two decades, just keep your hands up, more than two decades, more than three, four, five, six, I put my hand down, seven, anybody older than 70, 80, anybody older than 80 that wants to admit, oh, all right, Lucy, all right, how many of you, I was going to say, Lucy, do you feel close to a century, like closer than you ever thought you'd get? You look beautiful. She has survived the seasons well. Did you ever wake up in the morning and look at yourself and think, how did I get here? How did I get to this age, right?
Have you ever thought, how do I work this? Where is that large automobile? My God, what have I done? See, I know there's about 30% of you get that song reference. That's pretty good. You're welcome. It'll be in your head the rest of the day. Keith's going, oh, yeah, I know that song.
There will definitely be song lyrics in this series, so feel free to just sing it out to yourself. You know, no one will judge you. Just sing out the song that comes to your mind. I would say that almost everyone in this room would say that there are things in your life that didn't work out according to your plan. There are things that didn't quite happen the way that you had hoped or thought. And then there are other things that worked out better than you had thought, right? So we're going to be going through all of those things as we go through this series. You know, life is filled with ups and downs, ins and outs, joys and sorrows, surprises and disappointments. We tell our kids that. We remind our friends of that. When they're going through a difficult time, things don't always go according to our plan, but God. But God has a plan. You know, I think Cliff has mentioned every week for the past 2 months that we just celebrated 25 years of marriage. And we say that, I know, and some of you are
still... I'm a little
excited
about that.
You're still clapping. I'm glad you're excited, honey, yeah. But we say that with awe and disbelief that it's been that long, right? How are we that old, amen? Yeah, how are we that old? Look at Pastor, look how cute he is.
Who is that guy? I put this one up here because this, I mean, anybody remember when the building actually looked like that?
This is
our current building. You just came through these doors right here.
The portico is. Portico comes out there, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Portico's out here. So that's what it used to look like. So there you go. The stories about the brown siding looking like a barn, all true. Okay. So, just real quick, 25 years together. Yep. We're not the only ones who have aged here 25 years. There's my mom and Jen's mom. Hi, Mom. There's my sister. There's Alicia. You all know Alicia.
Yeah.
If I'm looking correctly, and I don't think about it, Beth, is that you? Where's Beth at?
Yeah, that's Bethany and
that's
Nancy
Beth
and
right
Rick there,
yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. There's Doug and Roz. There's Steve and Kathy.
Steve and Kathy. We did not get permission to show these.
No. Nope. That would have ruined the fun. So there's Glenn, and then here's Donnie, and then that's Krista, and then there's Donna with, well, whichever kid is 25 years old
yeah,
at this
right,
point.
Yeah, right. We'll have to ask her next service if she's here. Yeah.
I mean, good for them, but we lost track too, so so did they. But 25 years together.
Yeah. I was actually recently just talking to a young 20-year-old, and I said to her, the older you get, like, the faster time goes, and I feel old saying that. And she said, well, I feel that way too. You ever feel that way? Like, time goes faster the older you get, right? And I feel old saying that, but even the young people are actually feeling that, just how quickly time goes. Our lives, though, we may feel like we're getting older, or maybe we feel great, you know, but our lives have just begun. Do you recognize that? That in Jesus Christ, life has not even started yet. Like, this is just the prelude to the symphony. This is going to be, like, amazing. You know, God, we're babes, we're young. Our bodies might not feel that way, but this isn't the one we keep. Amen? This is not the body we keep. One day the Lord will, those in him will go and be with him, and he's going to come back. He's going to open the graves. We're going to get new bodies that never die, never wrinkle, never fade. So when we speak, you know, we're talking about experiences from our lives and from the church. We've survived the seasons of the church, the seasons of marriage, friendship, and we're telling you these things to encourage you to seek the Lord, to go after what God has for you, and to recognize that he is the one that has been through all of it. There's no temptation that we will experience that Jesus didn't experience, and we can run boldly before the throne of grace to our high priest, our great high priest, who has passed through the earth and the heavens, knows all things, has understands all things. He gets you wherever you are right now. He understands. He gets your heart. All right. So we've experienced many challenges as friends and as a couple. You know, we're planning to stay with this church through all the seasons. So if you just started coming, just a warning, you're stuck with us. You'll be stuck with us for a while. We're just looking forward to what God has. To have a healthy marriage, this is not necessarily a marriage service, but we need to talk about marriage and any relationship that you may have. But to have a healthy marriage takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of difficult conversations, self-analysis, looking in the mirror, you know, looking in at our own hearts. Lots of emotional roller coasters sometimes. Forgiveness, prayer. So, you know, as we were celebrating our anniversary, and we were having dinner one night, and we just kind of said, like, how did we get here? 25 years. Like, how did we get to this place? And I said, I think we just had to survive the seasons. We just had to survive the seasons. We had to survive the cycles of life. You know, you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have. Right, facts of life. Again, gonna have some fun with some song lyrics. All right. But we can look back at some dark times and think, how did we get through that? How did we get through that? At the same time, we look back at the good times and we wish that things could be that way again. I remember when things were this way. I remember when it was like that. And that can be heartbreaking, but God can carry us through those changes. The answer is don't give up. Do not grow weary in doing good, for in due time you will reap if you don't faint. Don't faint. Don't grow weary. Let Jesus come alongside of you to nurture you and help you and give you what you need so that you can continue on. When Cliff and I first got married, we actually made a verbal vow to each other to never use the word divorce when we were arguing. When you say the word, it's like a checkmate. Well, fine, let's just get a divorce. Well, fine, just divorce me. And I've heard people say that. When you say that word, you completely break trust because you're telling the other person, I would divorce you if it got bad enough. So when we're arguing, we said we're never going to use that word. I'm not going to lie to you and say that that word never crossed our minds. You know, there are times when Satan says, just get divorced. Just, you know, whatever. And it crosses, even when it crosses the mind, it's not you, it's the enemy trying to pull apart. So we have to recognize that. So we vowed to never use that word. And we also set a vision for our marriage. And I encourage you, set a vision for your life. If it's not a marriage, it's for your life. Picture yourself at that place of harvest so that every decision you make points toward that. So anytime we would get into an argument, I would picture us sitting on the front porch on rocking chairs, old, drinking lemonade or whatever, right? And we still looked good in my vision. We still look good in the vision. But, you know, I picture...
I appreciate that there's a we in that statement.
Yeah, we.
Appreciate that. You know the help I can get here.
So get some kind of mental picture in your mind of your relationship or of your job or whatever area of your life, which we're going to get into all of this stuff.
I would say that we learned to cast that vision.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't use the word divorce. We probably used a whole bunch of other words that we probably shouldn't have used in working through those things. You know, and I did. Okay. All right. But again, as we learned, right, we learned to begin to cast that vision and say, what do we really want to focus on? And that's really, again, with this season's message, you're going to look at. We can get so wrapped up in the right here and now that we don't look at what's coming next. And it's a balance, because you should appreciate where you are while anticipating what God's going to do next.
That's right. Okay, so we're going to put this up here.
Oh, sure.
All right, so we're just going to do a little art class here, and I'm not an artist, so bear with me. Okay, but I did this illustration on my Get Up with Pastor Jen the one day, and I think it just works really well for today. So we have... the seasons of our lives. So we're going to assume that the fall time is like the time of harvest. Okay, that's a good time. That's when we're bringing it all in and it's all working great. And then we're going to say that we've got summer comes before that, right? And then this is a new marker. And then we're going to say we got spring. And then we got the winter. So we got winter, spring, summer, and fall. All you gotta do is call, and I'll be there. Yes, I will. All right, good.
Well, awesome. They all sound beautiful. That's really cool. Nice.
All right. So think about your relationships. Okay, so let's say that the fall is like, it's really good, it's harvest, all this stuff is going really well. The summertime, well, you got some weeds, it's a little hot, there's, you know, it's great, there's good stuff, but there's, you know, we can't wait till it gets cooler. The spring, it's new, there's like a new relationship, or there's, you know, we're sowing seed where we decided we're going to start saving money, or we're going to start, you know, working on a new friendship, or maybe you just met somebody that this is going really well. And then the winter, we're going to say, is like the dark time, the work time, nothing's really coming in, you're not making a lot of sales, you're not doing a whole lot, you're kind of like feeling like blah, right? Got cabin fever in these different areas. So let's assume that in your God relationship right now, we're going to assume that you're in a harvest. You're doing really great with God. But then something happens, and then you just kind of start, you dip down to winter. And then, you know, then you kind of have a good year, and it's going good. And then you kind of take a dip down, and then, you know, you're kind of like that. And then maybe in your relationship, you just found a new friendship. And you're kind of like, it's doing pretty good, but, oh, you had an argument. And then you're kind of, you know, your friendship's going up and down as time goes on. What about yourself? I skipped yourself, but where are you at with who you are? Do you like yourself? Because everywhere you go, there you are, right? So do you like who you are? Are you your best friend? Maybe right now you're feeling a little frustrated because you put some weight on, so you're just kind of like, eh. Or maybe you just ate that big piece of chocolate cake last night you really shouldn't have, you know. So you're kind of going through maybe a challenge right now. You're struggling with your time with God, that type of thing. Okay, and then you have maybe your children. Maybe you are getting ready to have a child, and then you're really excited. Or maybe you never had children, so you're kind of always down in here with that, and you're hurt by that. Or maybe your child is making a lot of great decisions. They're doing really well, and they're kind of like up here, so you're feeling real happy about them. And then your friends, your church, you know, maybe you just found this new church and it's Blue Mountain Community Church and this is really awesome. And then let's see, your health. Maybe you just got some devastating news about your health. So you're struggling and you're trying to plant, you're trying to exercise, you're trying to diet, you're trying to do well so that it may take a while to get yourself to that harvest. It could take a couple years to get to that harvest. And then your finances. Maybe you're right now, I know a lot of people are feeling the winters of the finances. But maybe you're not. Maybe you're at a place that you're feeling pretty good. Like you're just kind of like managing the money and it's going pretty good. Okay, y'all get the feel, right? This is why our lives feel like chaos sometimes. Did you ever feel like, I'm really happy about this, but I'm kind of feeling down about this? And I feel really bad about rejoicing in this situation because this is going bad. But I feel bad being sad about this because this is going really well, so I should be happy. So I don't know where my emotions should be, right? Welcome to a woman's brain, guys. Because a lot of you men and women, you're just like Jesus. You're just steady. You know, you're good. You're like Jesus, right? So, but what we want to, the point is that Jesus, see if this is all right. Am I spelling it right? Jesus is in all of it. Right? Jesus is in the whole thing. So when we feel like there's chaos, there was Jesus. And he's with us through the whole entire thing. We take him with us in all those areas of our lives. Okay. Jesus does not waver in the seasons. His ability, power, and accessibility don't diminish in the winter. You know, you don't give Jesus a call and he puts you on hold for a couple years. When you call on Jesus, he hears, he listens, and he starts working. And he's going to give us tasks to do, things to do to get to that place where he can bring us the blessing. Okay, so Jesus doesn't take a break. In every season of our lives, there are things to do, work to accomplish, conversations to have, changes to make. Growth requires change. Can you say that with me? Growth requires change. Almost every week, someone makes a joke to me, a tall joke. Oh, you're tall, Jenny. You're, you know, and I'm not super tall, but there's women that are taller than I am sitting here. But, you know, I'm about 5'10", and when I walk up to somebody, they say, you're tall. And I think, oh, it must be, and they say, oh, it must be nice to be tall. And I'm like, well, I went through a lot of growing pains as a kid. I have stretch marks on my legs from stretching. And, you know, it hurt to grow. Growth hurts sometimes. Change hurts because it's not like it used to be. But yet, it's not like it used to be. So there are things in our lives that we're glad they aren't like they used to be. There are things in our lives that we're sad that they're not like they used to be. But again, Jesus is in all of it. Growth requires change. And we will recognize throughout this series that in order to grow and mature and to be strengthened by the Lord, he is going to be transforming us, changing us from glory to glory to glory, right? We can always find the troubles and the hardships in our situations. Oh, my finances. Oh, my relationship. Oh, we can always be, you know, Eeyore. But there are times that we could say, you know what? It's not going the way I hoped, but I'm trusting God that he's got this, that he is in this. So we have to survive each season by riding those waves of the blessings and challenges, allowing Jesus' word to guide us. And I think oftentimes when we're going through the downtimes, we want to blame someone else for where we are. Blame the blame game. Well, if they wouldn't do this, I wouldn't be upset about this. If they wouldn't have done this, you know, if this hadn't happened, if. Well, it did. And you know why? Because we live in a broken world. We're not in heaven yet. We live in a world that's broken, and we're working alongside and serving alongside people that are flawed. You know, and I love that we are a church of amazingly broken people that have accepted the healing power of Jesus Christ in their lives, and we can understand each other and come alongside each other and help each other heal. I mean, this is a church of regular, amazing people. All right. So you know, we want to blame. Sometimes it's just because we live in this world, we ride the wave. And the other thing that we have to recognize, we cannot speed up the seasons. And you'll know that in Pennsylvania, right? Where there are some winters that feel like they last 6 months. It starts to snow in November, and it doesn't stop until April. And you're like, yo, where was spring? Right? You go out one day, and it's summer, and it completely skips spring. And there are times like that where we feel like we want to skip the season, but we can't, because there's something required of us, something that God wants to do in us during that season, so that when we get to the next season, he can continue the good work he started. So don't grow weary in doing good. James says to count it all joy. Count it all joy. Everything we go through, just count it all joy. You know, because God's got something. He is changing our character, and he is transforming us from glory to glory. All right. Now, one thing, I'll give you one example about skipping the seasons. Now, this is going to be a money one, okay? If you buy something on credit, say, for example, you buy something on credit, like a big screen TV or a car you couldn't afford, you skipped the season of sowing and saving and went right to the harvest. I'm going to get it now. I'm skipping the season. Now you're in the harvest, but guess what? It's not your harvest. It's not your field. It's someone else's harvest because they still own it. You're just in their field. And now when your crop comes, your next paycheck, you owe it to them. You owe your harvest to them because we skipped the season. Does that make sense? It's not to make you feel bad if you put something on credit, but ask the Lord to help you work out of that, that you'll be able to pay cash for things so that it's paid for. You put the seed in, you get the harvest, it's yours. You're not using someone else's harvest. Same with, you know, in the summer, you can't pull weeds around plants that you didn't plant. If you go outside and pull all the weeds and there's nothing left, you forgot to plant seed, right? Okay? So and if you don't sow in the spring, you're not going to get it in the harvest. Well, gee, I don't know why there's no corn growing out here. Well, we forgot to plant the corn, you know. So don't forget to plant so that you can get the harvest. Okay.
Amen.
Yeah, can't skip the seasons.
So we're going to read a passage that may be familiar to us, maybe not. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And we're going to read the first, I think, 9 verses here, or 11 verses. So read this with me nice and loud. Will you? Let's cement this in our heart. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. A time to give birth, and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to uproot what has been planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to throw stones, and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to shun embracing, not just during COVID. A time to search and a time to give up as lost. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to tear apart and a time to sew together. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What profit is there to the worker from that in which he toils? I have seen the task which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. Well, you know, these first 8 verses, aside from being a really popular song by the Birds, you're welcome for that one, right? This is written by Solomon years ago, arguably the wisest, most intelligent man to ever live. He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes after, at the end of his lifetime, a culmination of having been there, done it 100 times, bought the t-shirt 1,000 times. He held nothing back in his exploration of life, and looking back, he said, this is what I've learned. What's he saying? Okay, he's saying that everything under heaven is changeable. This world is temporary and fleeting. Heaven is unchangeable. And we wrestle and we struggle because God has put eternity in our hearts, but this body is not designed to live forever. This world is not meant to be forever.
That's right.
We were created for the eternal, but we live in the temporary. We can frustrate ourselves by thinking otherwise. Solomon is telling us that this world is imperfect, and we can frustrate and we delude and deceive ourselves when we think otherwise, when we think that heaven, that earth is heaven. Jenny and I, Friday night, we watched a movie as a family in our house because our little girl wanted to watch a movie. It came out on a certain streaming platform, which I don't have the trademark for, so I'm not going to mention it. I don't want to get sued. All right, but if you have kids, you know what movie came out on a certain streaming platform that was a trilogy that has singing and dancing in it. We had to watch it. So the point of it was that in this movie, though, right, there's this all these kids there, these different groups of kids, different kinds of kids, and they were looking for utopia, looking for the perfect place to live. And they said, we can't live here because there's so much discord. There's so much disagreement. There's hurt feelings. There's misunderstandings. That's, you know, we never disagree about anything, so therefore that's what we're looking for. And the point of the movie they came back to was it was because of the disagreements that people were made stronger, that the relationships were stronger. It was because of their differences that they were able to find acceptance and to love, that love is sacrifice, that love is giving and putting the other person first. And it came about, this is the perfect place for us to stay. Now, I thought that was a really kind of cool movie or message to be sent in today's culture that says the opposite, that says you have to think exactly like I do, otherwise you're a hater. And that's not what they were, that was a pretty anti-cultural message, actually. But the point is, we get restless in our lives because we long for this perfect place where nothing ever goes wrong and it's always sunny, right? It's always that perfect temperature. It's always that. We long for that and we look for it here in this world, and it's not here because this world is fallen. It's temporary. It's transitory. Like Jenny said before, this is the prelude to what is coming. Now, Jenny said earlier that we, you know, like, for example, in the seasons, we live in Pennsylvania, and we can experience all four seasons in one day. You go from the heater in the morning to the air conditioner in the afternoon. How many of you experienced that? Yes? Okay. And I think though, that's why a lot of people choose to live here in northeastern Pennsylvania, in the Northeast, because you get the change in the seasons. You experience a little bit of each, right? What is the one of the most popular, if not the most popular place to live, where people say, oh, best place to live in the United States, what city do you live in because the temperature is always perfect? San Diego. Perryville.
Yeah.
Well, Rick, you lived in both, right?
So yeah, right. Yeah.
You moved back here for the seasons, right?
From Pasadena, right?
Pasadena. Well, God told you. There's that little caveat that God told me to do it too. It's kind of plays in that. But, right, San Diego. I have friends and I've heard from people who live there. San Diego is the place to live. Why? Because San Diego gets about 12 inches of rain every year. The rest of the country, we average 38 inches of rain. So three times as much as San Diego. San Diego averages 0 inches of snow every year. The rest of the country, the rest of the country, 28 inches. Of snow per year. San Diego averages 266 days of sunshine per year. The rest of the country, barely 200. Right? Go to San Diego. It's a perfect temperature all year round, all day long, 24/7. Sounds perfect, right? Maybe to some of you say, that sounds beautiful. How many of you are bored by that? How many of you are going, I think sounds pretty good, right?
But we're going to have lots of live stream from San Diego.
Yes, yeah, right.
Everybody's going for vacation. Yeah,
right. That's the parallel in our spiritual lives, in our mental state, in our emotional state. We long for sunny days, cool breezes, not too hot, not too cold, all day long. That's heaven. Okay. It's not here and now. And here now, we have to deal with the rise and the falls, and there's a reason for that. You know, there's a reason why there's not a whole lot of crops in San Diego. Okay? In addition to that, how many of you had this experience? You have somebody come visit you from the south, and what do you say? Oh, you brought the heat with you. Or the other way around? You know, you go south, and they say, oh, you're northern, you brought the cold with you. It's like 75 degrees. What'd you do, right? Now, we as human beings do not affect the weather. Chaos theory aside, we do not affect the weather. Right? We can't control it. Farmers, can you control the weather?
Hmm.
All you can do is roll with it. Anticipate best you can, prepare for it, and then endure it. But when in our lives, we have to understand that to an extent, we do bring the weather with us. We do bring the seasons with us. If we're in a winter, then we carry that with us wherever we go. And that's the mistake we run into in thinking, well, I'm going to trade this situation. I'm just going to give up on this job or this church or this relationship or whatever it is to go to San Diego where it's nice all the time. The problem is you're bringing the cold with you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You bring that temperature. You bring that with you. So that's why you have to stay in that season and allow God to bring you through it, to bring you into the season of spring or summer. And that's what we're going to be talking about as we move through the rest of this series, okay? So as beautiful, as boring as your current season is, it is temporary. What Solomon is telling us is that we will find peace when we wait on the Lord in each season rather than stressing about or trying to control something that is beyond our control. Let's look at Psalm 27. Let's read this nice and loud together. I love Psalm 27, verse 13. It's a verse that I've memorized. I encourage you to memorize it. It's a great promise, but look at the rest of the promise. David, who knew a thing or two about enduring seasons, I would have despaired unless I had believed I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Amen. Great promise. Spring's coming. Sunday's coming. Whatever it is, there's hope, right? Absolutely. But what does he say is the key to experiencing it? Let's read on. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes. Wait for the Lord. He tells you twice. Do you think he's trying to have you pick up on something? Wait on the Lord. Wait on him to see what he's doing. Let's read on. In Psalm 31, David said, but as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Now, there are about a dozen references in the scriptures that use this exact phrasing of in season or in its season. Okay? There are dozens more that refer to time. Not a measure of like an hour, but a time as in a specific point in our plane of existence, this time frame that we're in. David said, my times are in your hands. He didn't say my time. He said my times. All of it is in your hands. Not just this moment, but all of them, God. Look at what Job said. All right, Job 14:5. Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you, and his limits you, God, have set so that he cannot pass. God has established the time frame for you. All time belongs to God. I said this last week, that all nature and creation, all life belongs to God. He either holds it all or he holds none of it. We don't get to pick and choose which aspects of life belong to him. It's the same with time. That's why David says, my times belong to you. God either holds all time or he holds none of it. We can't say, well, God, you're in control of this situation and not of this one. I'm taking that one back. This one, you don't have any part in that. No, he holds it all. So we don't get to pick and choose which seasons belongs to him. All right, now, in those seasons, he is directing things for his purposes, right? That's what David said. My time's in your hands. I trust in you. God, you've set the limits. I can't pass it. You've established how long. God directs things for his purposes, which is often for our growing, but we get confused because we think that it always means our pleasure. And those are two different things. Going through the growth, like Jenny said, growth is hard. It's difficult. Does it bring about a good result? Absolutely. Is it always fun? No. And the idea that God just exists to just, make everything in your life sunshine and rainbows and 80 degrees all year round, that's not the case, right? We have to go through the difficult seasons to bring us into those places where we can experience the harvest.
That's right. So, in this series, we're going to talk about how do we as believers and Christ followers seek contentment in all circumstances? How do we seek contentment, as Paul talked about? And seeking contentment is really freedom because, Paul said that he is content in all circumstances, no matter what. If he has plenty or want, he's content in that. And when we seek contentment, we're seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness. And if you listen to any of Cliff's messages over the last several weeks, we were talking about how righteousness is really freedom. We will be free when we become content in all circumstances. How do we enjoy the beauty of each season? You know, even how do we rest even while we're working? There's always work to be done. You get one thing done on the to-do list and three more things get added, right? I mean, that's just the way it is in life. There's always something to do, but finding rest, finding the beauty, taking the time. How many of you even just take the time every day to just look at the sky and just thank God for that beautiful painting he made for you every single day? I mean, every moment the sky changes, there's always something beautiful to see. Thank you, Lord, for that tree in my yard. Thank you, Lord, for, you know, what you've given me. Thank you for the beauty of the mountains. You know, thank you that I live in Pennsylvania and I get to experience this place. I think sometimes we drive by places that people, sometimes we'll do that. I'll say to Cliff, let's pretend we're on vacation. I'm pretending I'm on vacation and I'm driving through this area of Pennsylvania or this area of town. And I start to see it with different eyes. Wow, if I never saw this before, I'd be like, wow, look at that. And I start to catch things I never really noticed before because we just get so used to it.
Look, I grew up living in Jim Thorpe. I worked in Jim Thorpe for 20 years, and it never ceases to amaze me. The influx of people who come in, oh, it's a tree. I'm like, you don't have trees? Where you come from? Like, out of the way. But again, experience it. I have to go somewhere else to experience something that I have right where I am, but it doesn't mean much where I am. It means more if I go somewhere else to see it.
That's me and palm trees. I like palm trees.
Well, we don't have palm trees here. Anyway.
So, you know, how do we rest? How do we sow? How do we water and weed and harvest and have a good attitude through it? And then how do we bear fruit in all seasons? Bearing fruit is our influence on other people. How are we helping other people come to know and love and serve Jesus in our lives? How are we showing Jesus? The fruits of the Spirit don't die with the seasons. The fruits of the Spirit should be all the time. We should be in a continual harvest when it comes to the Holy Spirit at work in us. The Holy Spirit's fruits mature and ripen over time. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those things will develop and ripen and get more beautiful over time as we spend time with the Lord. But those things never die when we walk with Christ. So how do we make a difference in the lives of other people? We want to grow to that maturity that God has for us. Maintaining an endurance throughout the seasons. Maintaining that that motivation even when we're kind of find ourselves in that same cycle again. The character of God in us is developed over time. Time is a friend of growth. Time is a friend of growth. As we go through seasons, we're sharpened and strengthened and matured. Again, James says, count it all joy. Find joy through all of it. In Psalm 1 through 6 on here. It says, what delight comes to those who follow God's ways? They won't walk in step with the wicked, nor share the sinner's way, nor be found sitting in the scorner's seat. Their pleasure and their passion is remaining true to the word of I am, meditating day and night in his true revelation of light. They will be standing firm like a flourishing tree planted by God's design, deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss, bearing fruit in every season of their lives. They are never dry, never fainting, ever blessed, ever prosperous. But how different are the wicked? All they are is dust in the wind. There's a song for you. Driven away to destruction. The wicked will not endure the day of judgment, for God will not defend them. Nothing they do will succeed or endure for long, for they have no part in those who walk in truth. But how different it is for the righteous. The Lord embraces their paths as they move forward, while the way of the wicked leads only to doom. I love that concept of bearing fruit in every season. But it takes walking with the Lord. It takes staying, letting our roots go down deep into the Lord, because Jesus is our firm foundation. He is the place that we gain nourishment. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And what he means is, apart from me, you can do nothing of value. You cannot be an influence, a true influence for him, if you're not in him, if you're not letting your roots go down deep. I believe, I'm going to say something. This is not maybe in the Bible. There's probably scriptures to back it up. But I believe that the righteous stay, and the righteous, when you stick to something and you ask the Lord to come alongside of you and say, Lord, this is really hard and I want to pull out right now. I want to stop exercising right now. I want to stop eating right right now. I want to get out of this marriage right now. I want to leave this church right now. But you say, Lord, I want to and my flesh wants to, but help me by the power of your Holy Spirit to stay. God will bless you, because every time you make the choice to stay, your root goes down a little deeper, and your root goes down a little deeper, and your root goes down a little deeper. And that's why Cliff and I started coming here when we were, you know, I was seven. My family left two times to go help another church start a music ministry, and we always came back. We always came back home, because the righteous stay, and this is where we need to be. Okay, so count it all joy. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, what Jesus said.
I think the other thing that we have to recognize, too, is what I have here, is, you know, we can't speed up the seasons. And like, I mean, we want to jump to that place where it's the same season all year round, and that's not healthy for us. And in the same way, we can frustrate ourselves by trying to accomplish the right task in the wrong season. Let me give you an example. Is that so in the springtime, we have like three trees on our property. In the springtime, I will prune the trees before they start budding, and I prune them by getting on my riding tractor, and I ride, and I get under, and like, okay, now if I can get underneath these branches, then they can stay. If this branch is already hanging down, it's going to be in my way 3 months from now. So that's what gets cut, all right? That's how I prune it. And then not just that, but then I have to anticipate and say, okay, it's okay now, but 4 months from now when it's heavy laden with leaves, is it going to bend down? And I made that mistake because there was a few that I didn't catch this year, and guess what? They're in my way now. Well, just cut it off. If I prune that tree now, I'll kill it. Because it's producing all the sap, all the energy, it's feeding those leaves, and if I cut that branch, it's going to try and pour all its resources into that branch that's not there, and I'll kill that tree. So I got to wait. I have to be patient and deal with it. All right? Maybe it's lifting that up, branch up as I crawl underneath or whatever. All right? For the right season. You can wreck a tree by pruning it in the wrong season. So either springtime or later in the fall when all the leaves are gone and the tree's gone into hibernation mode, before the frost hits, then I can prune it again. All right? Each season requires patience and grace. And we can do this in our lives by the right action in the wrong season. Jenny talked about finances before. You know, I'm harvesting before. I jumped to harvest before I actually sowed. Right? One of the biggest things as a former law enforcement officer and now ministering the church that I see and I learn from and I have to caution myself is we can wreck our kids by giving the right action in the wrong season. And I have watched parents, especially in our culture today, just be friends with your kids through their teenage years and they'll be fine. And I'm telling you, folks, that's a disaster waiting to happen. You will wreck a kid by giving the wrong instruction or trying to be the wrong role to them, the right role in the wrong season. Especially as they are in their teenage years, your primary function is to be their guardrail. You are there to help to direct their path as they are beginning to make choices. And I found it interesting that this keeps coming up. We talked about it at Elevated just a few weeks ago. Especially our teenagers, you know, you guys are experiencing that ability to begin to make more of your own choices, your own free will. And parents, we lose less and less control over their ability to do that. You can guide, direct, offer instruction, certainly correction if they're going to step across the rules that you've established in your house. But they're going to becoming independent. Your job is to guide them and say, look, there's danger. I've been talking about guardrails for the last 3 weeks, right? There's danger here. If you trespass this guardrail, there's a lot of hurt waiting for you. So if you love your kids, you'll tell them that, not go, well, they're just going to figure it out on their own, and they're independent, they're going to do what they want anyway. And I've watched parents try to be friends with their kids in their teenage years and absolutely wreck their kids. You can be friends with them later, after you've instructed them, after you've been the guardrail, after you've been their protector, right? You try, they try to overcorrect it, and now they're pruning way too late, and you're wrecking a tree, right? So we can do that. We do that in our not just with our kids, but in our relationships, you know, your marriage, a friendship, whatever it is. If you're in a winter there, then you cannot expect a harvest. And if you demand it or expect it, you're going to be disappointed, frustrated, and you're going to wreck it further. If you farmers, if you till your ground in wintertime, what is that going to do? Is there any benefit to that? No, you got to wait for the right season, right? You're going to wreck your equipment trying to break the frozen tundra, all right? You got to wait for the springtime. Then you're going to break up the ground so that you can begin it again, right? So each season we have to require our patience and our grace. Recognize the season you're in, and look at this. I mean, it's rare for you to be in the same season in every area of your life. And that's where we have to balance that, because, okay, I'm in a summer here, but I'm in a winter there, and I'm in a fall here and a spring here. Recognize where you are in all these situations and what God is doing and what each season requires.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I think oftentimes, too, we think we plant a literal seed, like, say, a sunflower seed. You plant, and in a few months, it grows, and it gives you a sunflower. But some things take much longer. They take years of seasons to grow, like a tree. It was interesting, a local tree farm posted on Facebook, hey, we're planting our seedlings now for your 2030 Christmas tree, right? So they were planting now for their harvest that won't come for another 8 years, right? So when you think about, sometimes you're planting now and you're doing the work now, but in those 8 years, they can't just plant it and let it go and walk away from it for 8 years. They're planting it. They're making sure the weeds are out from around it, making sure it's watered, making sure it's cared for, double checking on those trees, make sure they're growing okay, right? And a lot of times we want to plant a seed. We say, well, you know, yeah, I tried saving money. I tried it for like a month, and, you know, I didn't really get there real far. I tried tithing. I tried giving to the church, but, you know, a week or two, and God didn't 30-60 or 100-fold me yet. You know, I'm waiting for the harvest. When, you know, we looked at a strawberry yesterday with Belle, and we said, look at all the seeds on this little strawberry. That was from one seed growing. You know, that made many, many strawberries and many, many seeds. But it takes time. It takes patience, right? But it also takes trusting God, because we have a nice sunflower growing in our yard, right? But that sunflower in the yard, right? One sunflower, yeah, again, that's a story from a couple years ago. That happened to us before. One sunflower. We are not farmers, okay? We're not quitting our day job. So, but there's this sunflower, and, you know, Cliff stuck the seed in the ground. God watered it. God made it grow. God brought the sun. God brought the growth. We didn't do anything else but say, oh, look at that sunflower growing out there. Look, it's getting taller, right? So there are times we plant, God does the watering, God does he brings the sun, he makes it work. We just got to wait for the growth. We got to trust him. So it could take decades of seasons. Now, this is actually really funny that this happened. We planted this tree, this cherry tree, when we first built our house, which was 19 years ago. This year is the first year it has cherries on it.
I was cutting grass, and I got, because I, you know, I'm underneath it, and I look up, and I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
That's a picture I took while I was cutting grass, and I sent it to Jenny. I'm like, is our tree supposed to have berries? She said, well, it is a weeping cherry. I'm like, get out of here, really?
it said cherry tree on the badge when we bought it, but then we didn't believe it, because it took 18 years for it to actually give us cherries. So if anybody likes sour cherries, they're gone now. The birds have eaten them.
Birds ate them all.
Yeah, and the evidence is in our backyard. So
that's another message.
Sorry. you know, did you ever look at photos from your house and you say, wow, look how little those trees were then? You know, recently I saw someone, there was a tree service. No, a couple of you do tree services. But they were taking the whole big tree down. The person that planted that tree had the vision of that tree growing. They didn't have the vision of, well, you know what, my great-grandkids are just going to chop this thing down, so why plant it, right? So we are planting things now that we're expecting to grow, but at some point, it's going to be overgrowth, and someone's going to start over, but that's okay. But so it's you know, when you're planting, don't get to that way down the road and say, oh, they're just going to chop it down anyway. Let's not even plant it. But you do what the Lord is showing you in your time, and then he'll work it out for that next time. Okay. Don't waste time wishing for tomorrow. That's the other. When you're in a season, don't waste time thinking, well, you know, I wish it was harvest time. I think, you know, it's funny, in the winter we don't go outside because it's too cold. In the spring we don't want to go outside because there's too many bugs. In the summer we don't want to go outside because it's too hot. In the fall we don't want to go outside because it's football season. So why would we go outside, right? I don't want to go outside. You know, there might be a lion out there. The lazy person says there might be a lion outside on the road, Proverbs says. You know, we always make excuses and we always wish for the next season. And we forget that we just wished for this season. I wish it was cooler. Well, boom, there comes, you know, 30 inches of snow. Oh, I wish it was spring. You know, then it's spring. Oh, I wish it was summer. Oh, I wish it was fall. You know, then the fall, oh, winter's coming. Oh, but, you know, we don't want to dread it and we don't want to rush it and waste time. All right, we don't know what a day will bring forth. Enjoy today. What is God teaching us in this moment, right here, right now? And then Psalm 37, I love this. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Dwell in the land. Cultivate faithfulness. Just keep planting faithfulness and keep saying, Lord, I want to stay. I want to make this work, Lord. I know you put this on my heart to do, wherever, whatever area it may be in. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. When you just love Jesus and you recognize him and you point to him in every season of your life, he will start giving you a harvest of blessings that you cannot even imagine. He will give you the desires of your heart. And not only will he give you what you're asking him for as it lines up with his will, he will also plant in you desires. You're going to say, I just feel like I need to do this thing for God and for his kingdom. And you're going to start not even caring if the tree grows and not even caring if your bank account grows, because you're going to be so focused on what God is telling you to do, and he's going to bring that harvest of righteousness. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him and say it with enthusiasm, and he will do it. Yes, he will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Don't be looking at other people. Go ahead.
I just got to jump in here. I encourage you, as you read your Bibles, anytime you come across this phrase right here,
He will.
I highlight that in a special way. Like, I highlight that, and as you do that, watch how many times you start to see this, that God will do these things on your behalf.
Amen. Amen. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Stop getting all angry over all this stuff and mad, right? Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. Did you ever fret about something and worry about something so much that you say a word you shouldn't have said? Or you take it out on your kids, or you take it out on your spouse, or you go to work with a bad attitude, right? Evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Amen.
There's our wait for the Lord again. It comes
wait
back to that.
Wait for the Lord. Yep. So the seasons are designed to demonstrate God's faithfulness and to propel our growth. And that's what we're going to be talking about through this whole series. What season are you, and I want you to think about this, what season are you in for each of these areas of your life? First of all, your relationship with God. What season do you find yourself in right now there? Also, your relationship with yourself, who you are. Your relationship with your spouse, your family, maybe specific people, your friendships. How are you, where are you at work, at church, in your finances, in your health? And I encourage you, talk to God about this and talk to someone else about this. Talk to somebody who walks with the Lord and trusts in God. If there's an area that you're finding yourself in a winter and you can't figure out why, go and talk with somebody and ask the Lord to help you get that worked out. And then rest in whatever season you may find yourself in. You know, ask yourself, okay, I might feel a little bit like in a winter right now, like things are really rough, but what's God doing during this time? What is he doing? And when you can view your situation as a tool in God's hands to use for your growth, you'll actually start getting excited. You know, whoa, I'm having a rough day. God must have something good in store, right? Well, this has been, you know, we'll talk about it, but, you know, stuff was going, you know, we were struggling with some stuff at church over the last couple years, but God is doing something new and good and fresh and awesome. He is so good and so faithful. So the seasons show us the faithfulness of God, that tomorrow the sun will rise, that spring will come, right? And that God is in control. So rest wherever you are. Okay.
Amen.
Music
Amen.
Ministry.
Yep, music team, you guys want to come up? As they do that, we want to offer this invitation here. The first question up there is, you know, where are you in the seasons in your relationship with God? And we recognize that there may be somebody here or watching through us, you know, watching on through the live stream, that you're in that winter, that there is no relationship with God. But today's the day you want to begin. So I'm going to ask everyone here to close your eyes for a moment, simply for the benefit of not being distracted. This is your moment. If you're in a winter with God, but you want it to be springtime, you're asking him to plant his seed in your heart by submitting to him, by asking him for that relationship. If that's your desire this morning, to begin a relationship with God, I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand right where you are so I can agree with you. Anybody here making that decision? If you're watching on, you know, on a live stream, you can hit us up in the chat or send us a message and we'll reach out and agree with you. Anybody here? Okay. Then let's open it up a little bit here and just ask, you know, is there an area of your life where you are in a winter? Because that's the hardest part, and struggling to see where the springtime is or what God is doing. If there's any area of your life where you are waiting for the next season and you need to rest in the Lord and be patient, then just raise your hand. Okay. Yep. All right, all around. Okay. We're going to pray together. We're going to pray. The scriptures tell us that when two or more gather together and ask in his name, according to his will, that God's going to hear us. He's going to move on our behalf. So let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you that you hold all time, all my time. So Lord, today, I submit to you. I'm going to rest in this season, knowing it's temporary. The next season is coming. Lord, you're working in me everything I need for the here and now and for the next season. I'm letting go control, Lord. I'm going to be obedient to you. And I know as I do that, you will lead me to the harvest. Thank you for doing it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right.